This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. This week for Illinois Issues, columnist Charlie Wheeler compares the performance of the governor and the state's legislative leaders to the worst team in modern baseball history. I sat down with Wheeler to talk about his column. Your column compared the spring session ending without a budget to the performance of the 1962 Mets. For those of us who are not sports history buffs, can you explain the significance?
That was the first year of baseball returning to New York after the Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Giants went west, and it was an expansion team, and they compiled more losses than any other team in the modern era. They lost 120 games that year, and at one point, their manager, Casey Stengel, who had been a legend with the New York Yankees as a manager, winning numerous World Series, looked up and down his bench and said, "Can't anybody here play this game?" because of the ineptitude of his ballplayers. As a longtime baseball fan and someone who remembers the 1962 Mets, the performance of the governor in the General Assembly this spring, and in fact since a year ago, has made people wonder, myself and others, do these guys actually know how to get anything done? Does Rauner have a clue about what it means to be governor? Do the legislative leaders, have they forgotten what they knew, being able to compromise and work things out with people on the other side of the aisle?
And I'm sure you were paying attention as the end of the session was playing out. What are your thoughts on the back and forth that occurred in the last days that resulted in no budget bill being sent to the governor's desk?
I think personalities are into the mix much more than they should be. I covered this stuff for 20-some years for the Chicago Sun-Times, and there was a pattern that was followed in the spring session. The Republicans and the Democrats, and most of the time it was a Republican governor, would be feuding about just about everything under the sun, and they'd be going at each other hammer and tongs. And as we got within 6 weeks of the end of the session, and back then the sessions ended June 30th, the rhetoric would cool down, the personal antagonisms would kind of dissolve. A lot of it was showbiz anyway. And they'd finally realize, okay, now we can put the theatrics aside, pack up the circus, and we have to do our work. And they would sit down and they would negotiate on a budget. They would negotiate on whatever other important issue of the day was. Each side would give some. Each side would win a little bit. And at the end of the day, a budget would be passed. And it maybe wouldn't be done right on the dot at June 30th, but it was always done. And there was never any doubt in anyone's mind but what they would get the job done. And I think the dynamic now is different. There's a question, does the governor really want to hit a budget? Does Michael Madigan, the House Speaker, really want a budget? Those are the two main protagonists, the two confronting each other in this monumental battle of egos.
What about near the end? Senate President John Culligan had proposed doing kind of a bridge budget to keep things running, and the governor dismissed that idea and then ended up coming around to it in the final hours, basically, of session. What were your thoughts watching that?
Well, it was, can't anybody play this game? Cullerton has been an interesting personality in all of this because he's, at many times, is seen to be the most amenable to getting something done. The guy who is focused on, let's accomplish something. It's not all about being able to beat my chest and I'm super macho and I got my way and I ground your nose in the dirt, which seems to be Rauner's way of doing business. Cullerton was more like, well, let's see, where can we find room to compromise? Where can we get something done? Why don't we, for the sake of the schools, for the sake of human service agencies, for the sake of the people, real people whose lives are being affected by this craziness involving the purported leaders, why can't we just set all of that nonsense aside and do our job? Just for a short time, to get us over the hump, to make sure schools can open, to make sure human services are funded, to get us maybe past the November election. And Rauner's people dumped all over it. And then over the weekend, they had a sudden light bulb go off, and they said, oh yes, we have to do it. So they trotted out their plan. They had criticized Madigan for dumping a 500-page bill, and so they came up with one that was 1,000 pages. And then the Democrats said, no, we're not going to do it. So I'm just shaking my head. Why can't reasonable people sit down, people who are seriously interested in getting the job done, people who maybe understand what the job is, in the case of the governor, and work something out.
And you point out in your column that that budget bill that the House Speaker moved through the House is technically balanced under the requirements set out in the state's constitution. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of nitpicking in a sense, but as a reporter, I always tried to be accurate. And for the Rauner administration to claim that this particular bill was out of balance under the constitutional requirement that the legislature not appropriate more money than the estimated resources, that characterization was inaccurate. Now, the Madigan bill was a bad idea. The Madigan bill did not fund virtually, I don't know, like 90% of state government. What he did was he proposed spending roughly $13 billion to pay for all the stuff that the state hasn't been able to pay for because there is not a court order, nor a consent decree, nor a statutory requirement for these expenses to be paid. And because we're counting on having something like $32 billion come in the next fiscal year, spending $13 billion of it is a lot less than the amount that's estimated. Now, again, I don't think it was a good idea, but technically he was within the bounds of the Constitution.
So the Mets eventually did get it together, right? Does that mean there's some hope for Illinois?
As Chicago Cubs fans with sort of long memories woefully will recall, in 1969, the Mets became the Amazing Mets, and they actually overcame a pretty sizable lead that the Cubs had in the National League East Division, and they went on ultimately to win the championship and win the World Series. And this was 7 years after they were so inept. Obviously, one would hope that in the case of Illinois, it doesn't take us 7 years to get some results.
You can read Charlie Wheeler's column for Illinois Issues at our website, nprillinois.org.